Let us pray. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort, a word of challenge, a word of leadership, and a word of guidance. Make our hearts soft and plant this word in us, that your word may take root and bear fruit through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, despite all of the diversity of human experience that is out in the world, there are some things that are universal truths about this human experience. You know what I mean? Some things are just universally true no matter where you come from or who you are. For example, whenever a human being sees a tiny newborn baby, an adult is reduced to making silly faces and sounds. It's a universal truth. Or another one might be, for instance, if you have a family with three boys in it, they're going to punch each other and beat each other up. It's a universal truth, or at least I hope it is, or I'm doing something wrong. Some things that transcend all that might differ among human beings. There's one thing that I think stands out in our text today, this thing that every human being longs for and yearns for. There's this elusive, intangible thing that we all chase after and seek for our lives. No matter who we are or where we come from, we're all searching for this one thing for our lives. That is joy. Joy. It's something that every human being desires around the world. We're created with this innate sense that joy is something that's good and right and that we want for our lives and for those we love, and that when we feel that joy, it seems like this is how things were meant to be, right? But we wonder, is it possible to find it and maintain it? Is it possible to truly have that joy in our lives? Because sometimes it can feel so elusive or so temporary. Joy is a sticky thing. I mean, you can't grasp it and hold on to it. When you do find it, you can't bottle it up and save it for later and contain it. And it seems like there are some moments or even seasons in our lives where joy seems so prevalent and so present among us, but then it can also slip away so quickly at times and fade away silently into the night. Well, this is the third week of our Advent season leading to Christmas, and we light our Advent candles, and this week the word we focus on is joy, and we see that word reflected in our readings today, and in Zephaniah, in Isaiah, in Philippians. They all repeat the words joy or rejoice over and over again. We hear it a number of times. Now, you may kind of wonder, Pastor Josh, are you sure that joy is the right word with that gospel reading that starts out, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from wrath?" But even there, I think we see some joy in the midst of that text, because we see those who were lost coming to hear good news, tax collectors, soldiers, those who would have never thought God's mercy and forgiveness was for them, yet John baptizes them, forgives them, and proclaims the good news of the coming Messiah even to them. We see joy flow throughout our text today. And in fact, if we look around the whole of Scripture, we see that joy actually flows over and over throughout Scripture all the time. In fact, the words joy or rejoice, those two words, are found in Scripture 319 times in the Bible. That's a lot of times. So clearly there's something profound about this idea that God wants us to have for our lives as human beings. So today I want us to think about this idea of biblical joy. What is it that creates this sense in us? Or maybe another way to think about it is, what are the things in our lives that maybe prevent joy or keep that from being fully realized in our lives? So we may think that having enough might be a source of joy. Maybe it's that we have enough food or shelter or money or resources or clothing. That might bring us joy. Maybe having ample friends and family as a source could be a source of joy, or when everything is well in our lives. One might think that these things would certainly secure joy for us and make sure that we have a sense of joy, but if that's true, then I have to wonder why, when I look around at our world, maybe you've experienced this too, you see people that have all of these things, but maybe still have this sense of bitterness or frustration or even anger. If I look around, I see so many people, if these are the metrics, that should have great joy in their lives, but still have this sense of sadness or negativity. So we have to wonder what's going on here. I wonder, what about your heart? As I think about this in my own life, I realize that I've experienced this myself, where I've had times where I find myself getting caught up in bitterness or negativity, but then catch myself doing it and go, Josh, why are you not joyful? You have a family and a career and a great community that you're around. You should have joy in your life. What's going on? Maybe you've experienced that too. It's a mysterious thing, this idea of joy. And if we dig deeply into the biblical text and look at how God lays this out throughout Scripture, we discover some interesting things. First thing we should see is that there seems to be a distinction between joy, the biblical sense of joy, and this other thing that looks an awful lot like it, but is really an imposter, a fake or a lookalike. There's this artificial substitute that looks a lot like joy that we can often mistake for biblical joy, but it's not the same thing. I would argue that joy, at least in the biblical sense, is not the same thing as just being happy. Happy, at least when I think about it, I think of a feeling, and a feeling is sort of a temporary thing or a temporary state of being. And joy, biblical joy, is different. When we think about a feeling or being happy, there's a sense that that's dependent on external circumstances, things that are often beyond my control. So if all is well around me, then I feel happy, right? But when there's bad things around me or when that falls apart, that feeling goes away. That look-alike to joy is gone. But joy, in the biblical sense, by contrast, is something a little different. It's something much deeper, much stronger. It seems that joy is not necessarily dependent on external things, but rather something inside us, namely God. Notice how joy is talked about all the time in the Bible. Almost always, it comes up as joy being lifted up in the midst of struggle, or at least right after great struggle and pain. It's in times of struggle or right after a struggle when you would expect that those wounds are still fresh and people would be filled with bitterness or sadness or anger. But these are precisely the times God shows up in the story and says, "Rejoice, have hope, have joy, let my joy fill you." We see this in the words of Jesus himself. In John 15, Jesus says to his disciples on the very night of his arrest, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Notice that Jesus never says, "I hope you feel happy." He never says, "I hope you have a life full of happiness." In fact, I don't think the word happy is even in Scripture, but joy all over the place. Jesus doesn't just wish us this fleeting feeling, but he offers us something so much deeper and stronger, the power to have joy, complete joy, the joy of Christ, even in the midst of tough circumstances. Joy, as we see it today, is directly linked to the presence of God. Did you catch that in our readings? Each one said something about God being in our midst. Emmanuel, God with us. These two things are inextricably tied together. So what's remarkable about joy in the biblical sense is that we have this capacity to feel a sense of joy even if everything around me is falling apart. This is the remarkable thing about the biblical story. That doesn't mean that I'll feel happy or feel content or satisfied, but because I know that I am loved, I am forgiven, and that God is with me, that joy can still be a part of what's going on inside. And that's not to be flippant or trite about suffering and struggle, because that is very real. But that presence of God that can bring joy does not go away. In Zephaniah and Isaiah, we see today these words of rejoice are given to the Israelites while they are in exile suffering. God says, "But I am in your midst. Rejoice. I am doing something new." Paul writes, "Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice." Even as he is sitting in a prison cell, he's writing this letter to the Philippians about joy. Jesus prays this prayer for joy for the disciples and the future church, that's us, on the night of his arrest. Over and over again, we see this in scriptures with the apostles and the early church with the martyrs. They have this remarkable sense of wondrous joy, even in the midst of the worst of circumstances. So we have to scratch our heads and say, how is this possible? Well, I figure there's two possibilities. Either A, they're all just crazy folks, or B, there's something amazing going on here, something holy and spectacular that we want to be a part of. This biblical joy, it's not dependent on things happening around us or outside of us, but it is fueled, it is a gift given solely by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when a person is filled with this Holy Spirit joy, that joy of Christ, that joy that cannot be crushed or broken or taken away, have you noticed there's something almost magnetic about it that draws you in? Maybe you've been around someone like that that's just really filled with this kind of joy that's always present in them. It's a remarkable thing when you're around someone like that. It's that kind of person that when you're around them, you just can't help but feel hopeful and a little better, a sense of peace and hopefulness. When you meet them and greet them, you can't help but smile. It's just a contagious thing, and you find yourself thinking, whatever that person has, I want more of that in my life. It's inspiring, and it's contagious. It's a gift of the Spirit. And when we see that contagious joy of the Lord spilling out in our lives in so many ways. There's the simple kindness and joy that fills this community. Maybe you see this here as you come on a weekend to worship, to be a part of this. You know, one thing we're blessed as staff, we get to meet and hear from visitors or new members over and over again. And one thing that we tend to hear pretty frequently is when they describe coming to Good Shepherd for the first time is there was just something about it. It was like everyone was so kind and welcoming. There was this joy about the place. And that's what we've been longing for. In this season, I see a narthex full of joy in these weeks, a little messy because there's overflows of all these gifts and things coming, but just bursting with joy as we gathered warm hats and mittens, blankets, supplies, baskets, a much-needed meal for those in our city. God is working through these ministries to reach out and spread that joy to so many people. Now, if this joy, this biblical joy, is given and powered by the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we don't feel it, then maybe that makes us ask the question, well, how do we lean into this and get more of this in our lives when we struggle to find it? A few closing thoughts to help. How do we do this? One is maybe spend some time figuring out what it is that keeps you from feeling joy sometimes in your life. Maybe there are things that kind of infect you with negativity or bitterness or sadness. Once we can start to identify what those things are in our lives, then we can name them and then start to work to not let them have so much power over us, to free us, to feel more of God's joy in our lives. That's one thing. The second thing I would lift up is the idea of gratitude and thankfulness. We also see in our scripture today there's this idea of giving thanks as tied with joy. So when we struggle to see and find joy, I need to take time in my prayer to dwell in gratitude and thankfulness for all that God has done and all that God has given, which helps reframe everything and help me feel that sense of God's joy again. And third is the presence of God. Whenever joy is mentioned in Scripture, it has so much to do with God's presence among us. So we have to remember that God is the source, not anything we can do or anything around us. So that means sometimes we just have to be in the presence of God. Take a deep breath in the middle of your day and remember, God, you are here. You are with me. And there is joy in that. So in closing, I'm going to lift up these words from Paul that so often close sermons. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen."